everyone, it's Judy Warner. Welcome back to this week's On Track podcast. Today, joining me is Anay Vardia, who's the CEO of American Standard Circuits, and John Bushy, who's the technical director at ASC. We're going to talk about an ebook series that they have on technical subjects covering four different subjects that I think you'll really want to tap into. And we'll learn a little bit about American Standard Circuits, what they do, and then we'll put lots of links in the show notes. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Hi, Anay. Hi, John. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're excited to have you.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Good afternoon.
I so missed you guys last week at the International Microwave Symposium. I'm sad I didn't get to see you in person.
Yes, we were all hoping that we would get to see you, but unfortunately, that's not the way it worked out.
Yeah, travel restrictions are still a little tight on my end, but I think in the next month or so, I'll be free to wander and hopefully get to see you guys at some trade shows. So before we get started, Anay, you guys were on the podcast, 3 years ago, I think, when we first got started. So it's been a long time. So why don't you take a moment, Anay, and tell us about American Standard Circuits and where you're located and sort of what you specialize in.
Sure. Thank you, Judy. So American Standard Circuits is located in West Chicago, Illinois. We are a very diversified manufacturer of printed circuit boards. So we manufacture all kinds of different technologies, from what I would call very simple, very mundane boards to some very complex stuff. We do a lot of RF microwave printed circuit boards, both metal back and just regular hybrid RF circuit boards. We also do a lot of flex, rigid flex. We also build a lot of what we call insulated metal printed circuit boards, where the metal is thermally conductive but electrically isolated from the circuit boards. Probably the most simplest example is LED boards. And then, you know, we do have some very good high power applications that tend to build some fairly complex IMPCBs or metal core boards. So we do the whole variety. We also offer all of these technologies in a quick turn mode and also in full volume production out of our West Chicago facility.
Thank you, Anay. So I actually had the pleasure of visiting ASC, and it is a beautiful, very capable shop. I highly recommend them for anyone looking for, you know, a good shop in that area for all the technologies that Anay mentioned. For those of you who might be watching on YouTube, I neglected to mention that John's joining us remote today, so he only has access, so you'll see his headshot there, but he is joining us by phone. John, I imagine that you work closely with Anay to put together this series now. I think you have four ebooks out now on technical subjects. Can you talk to us about the books and sort of why you chose to do that and sort of the feedback you've been getting from people that are reading your books?
Well, the reason we wanted to do it is we wanted to give back to the industry and we wanted to help people with the questions that we get asked most frequently. And for instance, when we're talking about the book that I was directly involved with, the Fundamentals of RF Microwave PCBs, it was really considered a primer on a lot of the questions and issues that we face on a day-to-day basis when we're trying to rationalize or fabricate some of these microwave circuit boards. And so what I strove to do, and Anay helping on this issue, was to come up and answer a lot of the questions specific to certain technical aspects of these designs. For instance, you know, how do you select the right material? That's usually question number one. We go through the various factors, including cost and processability, copper roughness, how do you do a correct stack up of a particular board? And these are just examples of some of the topics that we covered. The RF and rigid, I should say, the rigid flex design guidelines, those were written to help people understand what the best method or design aspects to input into these new products that people are developing. We want to act as an arm of their design facility to help people not only realize functional structures, but make something that's readily manufacturable. And that's really the key for ASC. We want to help you make something that we can make more than once. And I'm not overstating it when I say that, you know, we deal with quite a significant amount of complexity in a lot of the board designs we deal with on a regular basis. But what we want to do is help remove any issues, particularly up front before we get into the manufacturing stages, and quite frankly, make it flow through our facility as easily as possible.
Well, I know that we've had talks when we were at trade shows and that is actually an area of interest we've shared. When I had my tenure in the RF and microwave industry, it seemed like a lot of RF engineers, there was a lot of gaps, right, in boards coming our way, maybe that weren't manufacturable because of the stack up or maybe uneven layups with materials, copper weights, that kind of thing. So I really appreciate that you guys put this book out. I think it was sorely needed. So, Ane, how long has ASC been in business, and what sort of led you? I imagine now that the proliferation of IoT sort of in place from the consumer side, as well as radar and military, sort of took you there. But what kind of drove you into those markets, and what are the trends you're seeing?
Yeah, so I think, you know, ASC as a business started in 1988, so we've been around for quite a while. When we started basically with four individuals. So we started with four individuals building, you know, single-sided, double-sided kinds of boards. So, you know, as we continued down the front of kind of growing our business more as a quick turn, from a quick turn perspective, and primarily focused on FR4, we knew that, you know, for us to grow long term, that wasn't the way we were going to get there, and we needed to really diversify in terms of the technologies we were offering, right? I mean, we obviously offer a lot of and build a lot of what I would call me too boards, but at the end of the day, I mean, we really want our customers to think of us as really solution providers, right? Mm-hmm. And the solution that we're providing them is kind of, okay, we'll work with you on your entire range of circuit boards. You know, on the simple stuff, maybe you need to get it done offshore. We can help you with that. On the more complex stuff, you know, you probably need to really be engaged with our engineering team, people like John and, you know, other members of our engineering team, at the design stage as early as possible, like John was talking about. And so we really thought that, you know, that is kind of a solution. We want to be a solution provider, and that's how we kind of work on growing our business and, frankly, making our customers' lives easier, because at the end of the day, that's what we're all about. We're about providing solutions and making our customers' lives easier. So that's kind of why we ended up, you know, building the range of technologies we are. You know, we continue to see a lot of trends in terms of more what I would call HDI structures. Mm-hmm. And that is currently a key focus of ours at American Standard Circuits, is to really grow our HDI structures and our HDI capabilities. And, you know, so we're certainly putting in a lot of different processes to enable us to be successful in that arena.
So we talked about the Flex, but I also want to mention here that the two other books that ASC offers, one is on thermal properties, right? What's the title of that book?
Thermal Management.
Yeah.
Thermal Management, yeah. Right.
A Fabricator's Perspective.
From a fabricator. So I think for our listeners, you're going to want to dig into that one. And then there's a the Fundamentals of PCB Technology, which I think you've sort of retooled from old Bob Tarswell and Dan Bollier classic, right? And that you updated it. And so for our listeners, I want you to know I'm going to put the links to all of those in the show notes so you can go dig in more. So I wanted to, you mentioned both now, Flex and RF and microwave. What were you trying to address with the thermal management from a fabricator's perspective?
So what we saw was, what was really missing is, you know, there's a lot of books out on PCB technologies, right? I mean, Clyde Coombs' book is probably the classic, mm-hmm. you know, it's the 500 or the 800 page handbook on printed circuit boards. But to be honest with you, they don't really spend a lot of time on thermal management. And if you start looking around, there are not really a lot of different publications that are focused on thermal management, especially on the different things that we can do from a printed circuit board perspective. So we wanted to have kind of a, what I would call a short book here on kind of the various techniques. And I would tell you that, you know, one of the differentiators is that American Standard Circuits does a lot of work in thermal management, and about 25% of our product probably leaves with some kind of, you know, thick copper, thick aluminum attached to the circuit boards in one way or another. So we really felt that it was important to kind of educate designers on the various design properties and the various design aspects associated with the thermal management printed circuit boards. And really what we focused on is what I would call the IMPCBs, which is the insulated metal printed circuit boards, where, you know, the boards are thermally conductive and are used to draw heat out, but they don't really, the metal really doesn't perform any electrical properties or electrical functions. And then you have the RF microwave circuit boards, where the metal is not only acting as a thermal management instrument, but it also acts to help with the grounding of the RF circuit boards. So it's really a dual purpose, and obviously there's different materials and different technologies that are associated with it. So we have clearly, you know, done, we've clearly tried to focus in on both of those different things. We had a little bit of thermal management in our RF book. We try to, you know, increase the amount of material we covered by focusing it into a thermal management book. So that's kind of the story on the thermal management book a little bit. And then you come to the fundamentals of printed circuit boards. So we also felt that one of the things that was really missing was kind of a nice, good, broad overview. So we actually partnered with Dan and Bob Tarswell, and we were able to take their old book, and we obviously agreed on this, and then we updated it quite significantly in terms of, we added a whole bunch of new chapters. We did things on flex, rigid flex, on metal back boards in terms of, you know, how these boards are fabricated. And I think it's important for designers to really understand all the different processes that go into fabricating a circuit board and the complexities involved. Because a lot of times designers are looking at their computer screens, and you can do just about anything on a computer screen, but then you come down to the reality of building these circuit boards, and it doesn't always work out the way you think about it on a computer screen. So we thought it's important to at least, you know, and not only educate what I would call designers, but even, you know, purchasing people, or even new engineers that are coming in. And again, like John said, I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to give back to the industry, right? And one way that we can give back to the industry is with a bunch of this knowledge that we've kind of put together on in various different books. And to be honest with you, those books, you know, they're all available for free downloads electronically, or if somebody sends us an email, I mean, we do have hard copies of all of these books, which, you know, we'd be willing to share with people.
Well, when I was in an office, I had two of those four books on my desk, and I just, hats off to you guys. I'm a fan. I think that a lot of times people think maybe that they're going to throw this over the wall to the EMS company or the bare board manufacturer and it's ready to go. But, you know, it always gets slowed down. And something we like to think about here at Altium when we think from the software aspect is we'd like to see designers take away some of that pain by what we call designing with manufacturing instead of just designing for manufacturing. And I think these books go a long way. John and A, either one of you, have you seen an uptick in maybe the downloads of these? And tell us also a little bit about the webinars you've been doing sort of during this COVID era to help educate your customers.
So we've seen, I mean, if you look at our collective downloads, we're somewhere between 12 and 13,000 downloads of all of our books. So we've clearly seen a lot of downloads, I would say, of our books. And then we also decided that we were going to supplement our books with webinars, especially during the COVID time when we couldn't really visit our customers. And, you know, we found it a great way to educate people, not only on kind of how a printed circuit board is manufactured as a very general topic to some very specific, like, thermal management topics. Or, you know, we also collaborated with a lot of our various suppliers to discuss different kinds of materials that are available in the market. And also just kind of broaden the knowledge, right? So it goes down the same point. I mean, the nice thing is those webinars are evergreen. They're available on demand, so anybody that's interested in a topic can come to our website. They can go decide which webinar they want to view, and they can really view it at their convenience, you know. And then if they have questions, they can certainly send it to us, or, you know, if they want to set up a call with us to discuss their specific design issues, we would more than welcome that opportunity. John, don't know if you want to add anything else about the webinars.
Well, I think Judy touched on it when she was talking about the typical flow of information and how it generally flows in one direction, or at least it had historically. What we were trying to do as a part of all this was to flow information back. It's part of a feedback loop that we think is important in not only optimizing existing designs or ones that are in the current design cycle, but helping that relationship between fabricator and ultimately design entity, the customer, to be able to optimize their designs for future manufacturability. So the reality is to avoid going down design paths that ultimately lead to headaches or heartaches, both of which are problematic. But we wanted to be able to help people to understand, hey, these are the difficulties or these are the issues that we deal with on a regular basis. And that was really the impetus in my moving forward with the RF microwave circuit board fundamentals, was to help people understand, hey, we can do these things, but here's the issues that we face when doing them. And I think if you have that open communication, and you really work together, this is part of the partnering that we talk about. I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but hopefully we'll mention it again. But we want to make sure that we are working together and that we're not just pulling POs and trying to execute orders blind to the design aspects that directly affect the manufacturability.
Well, and particularly with those types of boards, the RF and microwave types, you know, it's not like, one thing I've observed is you can be compliant, say, with your typical IPC standards, but it still doesn't perform in the same way that the designer intended. In other words, there's unintended consequences, like you said, John, where you can have blind spots, right? I remember doing a talk at PCB West years and years ago, with a really sharp RF and microwave board designer, and we entitled it Navigating the Pitfalls, because there are pitfalls. And, you know, like I always say, everybody's innocent. Nobody wants to make trouble for themselves or somebody else on purpose, but there are these sort of blind spots. So that's why I wanted to have you guys on today, because I think you're doing a really good job educating designers and purchasing agents to help kind of fill those blind spots. So as I mentioned to our listeners, I'm going to put all those links below. I'll also share the link to the webinar. So this is all free. It's all on demand and just a great place. And they just kind of philosophically, something we talk with our guests a lot about is what, and maybe John, you want to touch on this too, from the interactions you have with designers, what do you think is the importance sort of lifelong learning for design engineers today, particularly as we're just emerging out of this COVID era?
I'm going to jump on this one, Anae, just from the standpoint that I get the opportunity to work with some of the smartest people in the world. And what we have to remember is that these technologies are changing so rapidly. I started at ASC a little over 10 years ago, and just as a company, as one entity, seeing the changes that we've gone through to not only become current in technology, but to get to the, we'll call it the leading edge, or get into that realm. And when we start talking about processes like the semi-additive process, the Averitix semi-additive process, we start talking about geometries that were a pipe dream, at least in North America, you know, 5-10 years ago. And the different challenges that just the changes in scale bring to manufacturing are incredible. At the same time, we see that a lot of the technologies we've developed actually dovetail well and work. The addition of LDI, for instance, it's having an imaging capability that's already at a level of the required geometries when you start getting down to 25 micron lines and spaces. Then you look at new materials, different resists, for instance, plating thickness control becomes an issue. Of course, with the decrease in circuit geometry, it also decreases the via size. Your layer thicknesses tend to go down if you want to keep the impedance values the same. So that has impacts not only on drilling, but it also has impacts on multi-layer lamination and material selection. So bringing all this information to the designer, and when we talk about the designer, we're really talking about the customer as a whole, you know, and I think you mentioned it on several instances, making sure the purchasing is involved with this. We've seen a shift in that as well, and that they've sought to become better educated of the products that they buy, and we try to aid in that process of helping to educate them, educating their designers, and really working together as a team so that everybody understands what we're doing going in, seeking any trade-offs specifically for manufacturability or reliability. And it's just a constantly evolving process. So it's information, constantly flowing back and forth. And it's that openness and willingness to adjust, change, modify that we see is taking place now that maybe would never have taken place 10, 20 years ago. So
you're so right. Seems like science fiction. We've all been around a bit, and it seems like it's unbelievable what we can do today. But we gotta stay up to date. And any thoughts on lifelong learning from your perspective?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's like John said, but I think at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I think it's really important for designers and purchasing people to really better understand kind of what printed circuit boards are all about. You know, too many of us in the PCB industry have heard about how printed circuit boards are just a commodity. And, you know, we're at a point where we're very, very far away from that concept in most cases, you know, where we're not a commodity and where this is really a very, very complex circuit board that is providing a lot of different functionality. And I think, you know, it's important for, you know, the industry as a whole to keep continuing to learn. I mean, to be honest with you, I think all of us on this call here have lots of years of PCB experience, but I think even we ourselves are learning on a daily basis, right? It's almost like every day is a school day. So I think the same is true really for our customers. I mean, there are new technologies and there are new things going on, and I think it behooves us to really all be continuously learning. So, and I think that's part of why we've kind of done some of the initiatives that we've done, is to do our part in the industry to help with that lifelong learning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you're right. Everybody along the whole continuum, from design all the way to finished whole system, all of us need to be learning, or we'll find ourselves in pain very quickly. And that's why I love having people like you on, John and Anae, to help serving up these resources that enable all the stakeholders to continue to get educated. Anae, I had a question for you. So some people just buy through, say, their EMS provider, and they may or may not touch their board fabricator directly. Do you typically just deal with the person at the EMS company, or how do you kind of navigate that piece of it? Are you dealing with customers or buyers or your EMS designer buyer, or is it just a smattering of all of the above?
So, I mean, the reality is that the majority of the business that we do at ASC is done directly with what I would call more OEMs.
Okay.
But clearly we do a fair share of the EMS business. And in a lot of cases, you know, if we do have engineering issues, we try to work obviously through the EMS, and then sometimes they'll get their end customer involved. So again, it all depends on a case-by-case basis. I mean, we currently have a very large defense company that we're working with, where we've done the first set of orders all directly for them. And these are highly complex, very engineered circuit boards, I would say. And then their plan is that, you know, once they get through that first phase where we've delivered all the first set of boards, then ultimately they want us to deal directly with their EMS provider. But in that case, you know, it's a situation where they're basically going to dictate, okay, you need to go to supplier ABC in order to get your boards. And, you know, all the engineering, or I wouldn't say all, but at least 90% of the engineering has already been done, right? And in that case, we've directly done it with the end OEM. So I think there's just a lot of different ways that the EMS relationship works. I mean, it does get a little tricky from time to time, but I think, you know, the greater the complexity, it's unlikely that the EMS can handle it by themselves. If there are board design issues, then they're going to have to get the OEM involved, and we will end up dealing with the OEM directly in many of those cases.
Well, it makes sense, since you've sort of historically focused on prototypes and pre-production, say, so you get all that heavy-duty lifting and engineering done on the front end, and then it can sort of be more streamlined at the EMS.
Yeah. Just to be clear, you know, we've actually seen it change in that everything isn't driven through the EMS, but only from the simple standpoint that there's so much information that needs to take place, the delay of having to triangulate to a third party would just introduce delays. So what we've seen happen is working directly with the designer with the EMS tied in, so that they're aware of what's going on as well. And we've seen a trend towards that, where they don't need to be a part of the input-output process, but they need to be aware of what's going on. And that helps them not only with scheduling, but to understand the technical issues that we've seen through the manufacturing process. So you don't have to completely re-educate someone or educate someone anew at the end of this whole design cycle. They're basically up to speed already, and we're ready to go for that, like you said, the next turn or the next stage in manufacturing.
Makes sense. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know things are evolving so fast, I don't always keep my eyes on it. Well, thank you both for joining. I'm really happy to share all the education. I appreciate what you're doing, sort of Not only, I mean, of course, you're there in business to make money, but you've done a really good job of sort of giving back and serving education back to the industry at large to hopefully soften some of those blows. So thank you so much for joining. Before you go, the last thing I want to explore, we started out talking about IMS. Seems like the world's opening back up to some in-person trade show or hybrid trade shows. And what else do you have sort of on the horizon for trade shows where you might be present and maybe some of our listeners can meet you or come grab a book or take advantage of some of these other resources you have?
So, yeah, I mean, right now we've got the SMTA in Minneapolis coming up. We've got the Old Crow Show coming up. So we do have a couple of shows yet on the schedule for this year. We also have PCB West that's coming up. So we've got at least three in-person shows that I can think of readily that we will be participating in. And, you know, I think John and I had a good experience last week. We weren't quite sure how it was going to work out. And I think, the organizers had said that the crowd was going to be fairly small, and they said that would be only about 25% of what the typical crowd would have been. And I would say that, you know, just based on kind of the number of people we talked to relative to previous shows, I would say it was almost between 40 and 50% probably for us.
Interesting.
But I also think that one thing that made a difference is, you know, people who came were really interested. And then I think the show being a little bit smaller, so there were only, you know, there were probably only a third of the booths that there normally are. I think people were actually able to walk the whole show, which typically at the microwave show, it's a rather difficult feat. As you know, Judy, you've been there, you've exhibited yourself over the years, and it's kind of difficult to walk the entire show. But actually, to be honest with you, this was pretty easy. You could walk the entire show in a couple of hours if you chose to do it. So that being said, I think a lot of people did walk the entire show, and I think that made for much better conversations.
Well, it's really interesting to see that, because I think everyone was predicting lower numbers. So it's interesting to get your insight on that. And I'm, you know, biting at the bit because I miss that in-person engagement and engaging with people like you and customers and a whole litany of other people in the industry. So thanks for that input. Do you have those events on your website, Anae? I can put that link in as well, or where can listeners get more information about that?
Yeah, I can get you links for those events that we're going to be at. Yeah, we haven't posted all of that yet on our website. Okay. We tend to post towards the end when the show is just getting there, but I will get you a list of those.
Okay. So for our listeners, I'll make sure and add those in the show notes for you. Well, John, Anae, thanks so much for jumping on today. It's great to hear about all that you're doing to help educate the industry and also getting back out there. And we appreciate everything you do as a company from technology standpoint and also how you invest back into the industry. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
For our listeners, thanks so much for joining today. I hope you found this helpful. Make sure you go check out those show notes. I'll put lots of stuff for you there below. We will see you next week. Until then, remember to stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.